Hey gang, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, tomorrow, Saturday, April 18th, 2015 is Record Store Day. Get out to your local record store and buy some music. Lots of bands are putting out special releases for Record Store Day. I'll be hitting lots of local record stores here in Austin, including Antone's Records, End of an Ear Records, Encore Records, and of course, Waterloo Records. If you are not aware of your local record stores, just go to recordstoreday.com and find a record store near you. Let's get out and buy some music this weekend, huh? Saturday, April 18th is Record Store Day. Go to recordstoreday.com and find a record store near you. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, John Howdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Don't forget, tomorrow, Saturday, April 18th, is Record Store Day. So get out there and get involved in the music. Pick up some music. You can pick up some music from Etu Broussais. They are a London band who are my guest today on the show. They were here during South by Southwest. You might know them here in the States from their tours with the Zombies, which is pretty fucking exciting. And they also did a South by Southwest in 2013. You might know them if you live in the UK, as they've played their single This City on the BBC Six. It was a big song on there. And they play a lot around London and around England. So if you see them, Etu Broussais, I know that they're going to be doing some touring. Get out there and see them. We have a great conversation about London. They're really like an Americana band over there. Really, it's weird. They're a very American-sounding band. In fact, their sound has been described as West London meets the West Coast. So sit down and enjoy my conversation with the great London band Etu Broussais. I'd like to thank my friend Fiona for setting that up. She was a great person. She was here for the interview. And then we all went for a walk downtown to South by Southwest and enjoyed the day. So stay tuned for that. Let me tell you what's going on with me tonight. April 17th, 2015, I'm playing with Johnny in the Ladies' Room at Threadgills. Unless, of course, it rains. There's rain in the forecast. If it does not rain, come out to Threadgills, where I will be playing with Jess and the Echoes, and also my dear friend Kendall Beard, who AJ Vallejo is in the band. You might know him if you listen to the show. Good buddy of mine, we have a cooking show on YouTube called Drinking and Cooking with Johnny and AJ. Check that out. So if you are in town, if you're in Austin, check out Threadgills tonight, April 17th, 2015. We'll be playing at Threadgills. I have a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, I received a ticket in the mail yesterday. Yes, a ticket for running a red light with photos of my car from surveillance photos. That was weird. It's still weird to me. I think it's strange. I looked around. I didn't see a cop. And then I got a ticket in the mail. So that's strange. Look out for that if you're driving around. They'll send you a ticket. It's a picture of your car, like three different pictures. Are they taking pictures of everyone? Do they know where you are all the time? Isn't that weird? That's a little much. Surveillance. How do you feel about it? Tweet at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Let's see. I picked up my glasses. I told you guys last week I went and got fitted for some glasses and got my eye exam and all that stuff. Got my glasses today. Had a great time reading in the tub before I did this intro. I took a little nap, got up, and did a little reading in the tub. And everything looked great. It feels great to have glasses where I can actually see, so that feels good. I'm actually wearing my long-distance ones right now and kind of looking around my house. I can read my posters, so that's good. So, hey, things are going good in my life. I have been seeing someone. Yeah. You might have noticed I haven't been complaining about stuff or dating or how weird that is. But yeah, for the last few weeks, I have been seeing someone. It's been great. I will let you know as it unfolds. It's nice to kind of have it underground right now and just kind of like have someone that you can share stuff with and not have haters all up in your shit. So that's good. I do have, there's a lot of haters out there. When I get with somebody, there's a lot of people that don't like that person. And that's just the way it works. It's a strange position to be in. I feel bad for the people that I go out with, but this girl understands what's going on. She likes me and I like her. And so that's good. All right. Okay, changing gears a little bit. We have a lot of new listeners to the show. Welcome to the show. Those of you who have never listened to the show or those of you who have just listened to a couple of episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher, and you can find us on your iPhone podcast app. We put out a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. So there's two shows a week that you'll get in your iTunes or in your Stitcher favorites. And you can also like our Facebook page. Get involved with that. You'll see photos of me with the bands that I interview, like Etu Broussais, today's guest. And you can, if you really want to get involved, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. So hey, let's do this. Let's do a hashtag Record Store Day 2015. If you're out there getting records at a record store, post pictures of the records that you buy on our Facebook page. How did I get here? Go there and like it and upload some photos to it. I would love to see what records you bought and what record store you are at in whatever city in the world or the United States, okay? So before I bore you to death with this monologue, let's get to my conversation with London's Etu Broussais. Once again, West London meets West Coast. Fantastic band. They were here for South by Southwest. You might have seen them opening for the Zombies here in the States or in the UK. You might have heard them on BBC Six. Great band. Great conversation. Once again, thanks to my friend Fiona. I hope that all of you have a fantastic weekend. And I hope you get out to Record Store Day tomorrow, Saturday, April 18th, 2015. Buy some records. Okay? Here is Etu Broussais. Let's get down.
Two guys.
Okay, yeah. Two guys named Bruce. All right.
The brothers Bruce.
Yeah. The brothers Bruce.
Yeah.
Your parents named you both Bruce. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Bruce Junior. Bruce Senior.
They were born in the same year, so it just made sense.
Yeah. Irish twins, as they say.
Irish twins. That's right. I'm in a band with Irish twins that are actually the last name is Murphy, which is weird, because one was born in like December, the other was born in October.
Yeah, we're December and January.
Okay.
11 months, not obviously.
But you're not actually brothers, are you?
No,
yeah?
We are. Yeah,
you are. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Can I plug this in somewhere to get some
Sure. Do you, right there or over there, there's the thing. Sound. How are you enjoying the States so far?
Loving it.
Yeah, loving it.
Yeah? Yeah. You've been out, you spent a little time out on St. Patrick's Day. What is St. Patrick's Day, the level of celebration in the UK, as opposed to, say, here?
Wow. Well, where we're from, Hanwell in West London, it's predominantly Irish.
And so it's a big deal.
It's a big deal where we're from, yeah.
Okay. How do you like London?
Love it.
Are you all from London, like born Londoners?
I was born there. Sean was born in Wales, unfortunately.
Fortunately, I moved in 97.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much Londonized.
Yeah.
I think so. The accent's still there, though.
Where were you born, Darren?
Clacton-on-Sea.
Essex. Okay. Yeah, Essex. We're Essex lads.
So I'm the only true Londoner here.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. You look like the only true Londoner here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I feel like it as well.
Yeah.
Governor.
So, man, I read a description of your music that is so perfect. West London meets West Coast. Because there's like some serious Beach Boys stuff. That stuff, that's your new album, what I was listening to on the SoundCloud link?
Yeah, I think so.
That's this. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's awesome.
Thank you.
And it seems like there's this cross influence, because if I look at you now, you kind of do look like American guys. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a weird way. Not to insult you guys.
not at all.
But a lot of it comes from that classic songwriting. And it typifies it, I think, a lot of the American artists of the 60s and 70s, as well as the British artists, and it's getting them both together for these classic songwriting.
Well, it's cool because we live in a time now where those influences are starting to shine in different bands. Are there any bands that you feel like are sort of kindred spirits in London?
Not really, actually. The one thing that always comes, and there are a lot. We do meet a lot of great bands when we play. A lot of people are fantastic, but it's hard really to keep track of everyone.
Yeah.
I think in London, the scene changed so much that there's no real gauge for success anymore.
Right.
It's just a lot of people playing because they love doing it, and it's a lot about the art. So we meet some bands who feel that way, and it's great to spend time with them and play gigs with them. But no one, no one band, we'd say, are kindred spirits.
No.
No.
I agree.
How is the scene in London?
It's fairly healthy. I mean, I think like a lot of the big cities in the world, like New York and LA, if you want to play some really big venues, you pay to play still. You buy your tickets in advance.
Oh, really?
Essentially, yeah. But a lot of the more famous venues, like the Half Moon and Hope and Anchor, it's just...
I saw that you guys have played those, right?
Yeah. It's those venues, you still just book a gig there, and they pay you if you bring enough people, the way it should be, really.
Yeah. And how does that go for you guys? Do you have a pretty good following? Because I noticed that you guys got some airplay on BBC Six, BBC London, which obviously... I don't quite understand, but the way that I've understood it, at least for the last like 15 years, like in the UK, like if you get good press, it can turn into something. Like here you can get good press and still no one will ever come to your show.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, I've heard they're really good, but they don't come. But there does, what does it mean to be played on BBC Six?
BBC Six is a fantastic station for people like us because it's about independent music and alternative music, and it's the first outlet that a lot of bands have on national radio.
Okay.
Is BBC Six music.
It reaches the whole country.
The whole country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that here, so go ahead.
And for us being in London, BBC London is good for our area, but it's the way in. It's where a lot of the alternative bands, the bands that are slightly different who do it all themselves, get their foot in the doors, where they get heard and where they can start to build a fan base or start to build a following.
Yeah, and that's been going on for you guys.
It's been good, yeah. Six Music have always been good to us. So BBC London, but alternative stations like XFM and Absolute, which are also nationwide online.
Right. Is this the first album? No, this is...
The second album.
Suburban Sunshine album.
Suburban Sunshine was the first one.
Okay.
That was when we had 2 years ago. We came out here to South by Southwest and...
Okay, sorry. Okay, but I listened to this today.
Yep.
But on sound. Okay, now it's making sense. So, yeah, tell me about when you came a couple years ago.
Cool. That was brilliant. That was, yes, our first trip as a band to the States, South by. We got a licensing deal at the time.
That's great.
And as a result of that, we ended up going on two tours with the Zombies.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, it was two separate tours, total of 3 months, and wow.
Playing coast to coast.
It was just fantastic.
It was an experience. Yeah. The Zombies are a wonderful band to play with because they're very generous, and they obviously have some brilliant classic songs.
Plus, yeah, they're the fucking Zombies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So you get to play every night and the bonus of watching the Zombies every night.
Yeah. I mean, win-win. did you get to at all hang out?
Yeah, we did.
Did you get pals? Or?
They are the very open, generous people, and they gave their time, they gave space, they didn't get on us about our set times, they didn't get on about getting on and off on stage, that, you know, they understood, they've been there, done it before, and they gave us a very long leash, and they were generous enough to kind of allow us the full benefit of their audience as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And plus, what a great band to see every night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It could only make you better.
Yeah. I can. Yeah. So that, wow. How do you tour a lot in Europe?
We've not toured outside of, apart from the US, obviously, England at all. So that's our plan.
Okay.
You know, we want to do a lot more of that this year, hopefully.
And when does this record come out?
We'll see. Well, we brought it to South By to see if we can get any interest in it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards... After a couple of weeks up South By, you tend to know if anybody's got any interest in what you're doing. And we'll release it ourselves if nothing comes of it.
And that's what you did with the last one?
We did, yeah. We started releasing it ourselves, and then we licensed it to Sonderblast here in the US.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask, did something like that happen? Did you after the Zombies, did you come back and play on your own again? Or is this...
No, this is our first time back since the last tour. Yeah. So we spent last year doing the album, recording the new album. So.
Right.
And bringing Sean into the band.
Sean into the band.
Sean's a newcomer.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was all a bit new to me. This is my first time in Southwick. So
South by Southwest.
Yeah. And I joined them last year, replacing the old guitarist. So I've known them for a long time. I've even been a band with Jamie in the past.
Yeah.
Some of the songs have transferred over as well, one or two, so I actually could pick up the songs quite relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Straight into a couple of festivals in the summer and.
Right to work.
Austin. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you got your right to work.
Yeah, he came on board for two gigs just to help us out, and
here he is.
And we haven't let him go.
How I wish that I could have seen you guys before we did this, because I'm always curious with a band that has such great harmonies. Like, that's always the litmus test when you see them live. Like, is it?
Yep.
you know, well, and especially in these conditions that you're playing under, like throw and go, it's not your gear. You don't have time to sit down with the monitor guy and tell him, the sound guy and tell him exactly what it is you guys do.
It becomes.
Is it nerve wracking?
I think it was a couple of years ago. Now we know we just got to get on and do it, and you know you've got to give a good show no matter what. There's no point. You know, you can't sulk on stage if things aren't going
your
way.
No, of course not. No, I wouldn't expect that, but I imagine like you might come off and yell at your manager or something. You know what I mean?
We do that as a matter of course anyway. It's a good release. You know?
We yell at them first, and then
get some of that angst out before you play.
Yeah,
exactly. It is what it is. You've got so many bands coming and going, and you just
It's hard. It's hard. And I'll tell you, I've played this thing like since 1990, and it's changed a lot. But I mean, the logistics of trying to play a show here during this, like to get to your show, to load in, to park, like just the regular things that you do are virtually impossible. And the sad thing is like even, and I'm not just dissing my town, I think everybody that would be listening to this right now would agree. And like who the cops are shaking down are not the frat boys puking in the streets. It's you trying to unload your fucking gear.
Yeah.
Who everyone came down here to see, and you're playing for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. We noticed that today. We were actually getting in the van. They were saying, quick, get in the van because the cops are right on us if we stop it for more than 10 seconds.
You're loading out at a music festival, dude. Like, come on, give me a little, like, go stop the frat boy from puking. Make him go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming, but it is when you come here and you have a plan. I mean, I've always wondered what it's like to come here from another country. And I mean, you put a lot into getting here.
Sure.
You do.
And it takes a lot out of your band financially, time-wise. It's exciting and it's fun, but ultimately, like when you came in 2013, did you guys leave feeling like, well, obviously you got that thing and then you're touring with the zombies. So yeah, it was worth it.
But it was still, you know, it was a whirlwind.
It was exhausting.
Wow. 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, it was surreal.
We played a gig the very next day after us arriving.
We landed, got our bands. The next day we were just shoved out onto the stage.
It was, yeah.
Like, now perform.
How many shows are you doing this week?
Three.
Okay. That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's a nice number. We've got one tomorrow on the Friday and two on the Saturday.
Okay.
Which is good because it keeps it compact. You can work on things, you understand what works better and what doesn't that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while you're here, basically what you're looking for is someone in America to put out the new album.
That would be nice.
And there's also European labels here too, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to talk to as many people as we can because, I mean, we think the album's great. We do have.
I think it is too, man. You guys are a really special band. You're a really strange band. Like, it's weird that you guys are you. You know what I mean?
We get that a lot often when we play.
That's
in
cool as shit, though. Because I bet you stand out like a sore thumb.
We turn up in London to gigs, and after people say, "I like that," it's like nothing I've heard. I wasn't expecting that. As in, not the music, the whole spectacle and the show, getting up on stage live and talking to the audience.
Yeah. So how did this come together? How did you guys? What kind of music did you grow up on, and how did this sound come together?
That's good. We all grew up on different music, but it's all within the same ballpark. As in, you can have, you know, like pop and rock, I consider to be in the same ballpark, but they're very different types of music.
Sure.
I grew up listening to a lot of music from the 60s and 70s. My parents had a wonderful vinyl collection, and I used to just go through it with a fine-tooth comb, finding everything I loved.
Yeah.
there were so many bands I loved, so many artists, so many styles, but for someone like Darren, he came from a very different sort of musical background.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Metallica, Iron Maiden, that's what I'm into.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Oh, really?
Literally. The only two bands I really listen to, apart from obviously the Beatles and all the classic 60s and 70s.
What do you play?
Bass.
Okay.
Yeah. Big Steve Harris fan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the guy, man.
He is.
You know what I thought was really cool? Sorry to do an aside. Nico
McBrain.
Yeah, when he's not touring with Iron Maiden, he's in an Iron Maiden tribute band.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That
is
brilliant. To me is like, that's like the coolest. I mean, it's real weird and creepy, but that's also the coolest thing I've ever heard. That guy loves his band.
Yeah, that's nice work if you can get it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So you grew up listening to that stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, big time.
You a Cliff?
Cliff Burton?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? Tom Jones.
Tom Jones.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, not a bit that big. I shouldn't say this on radio, but not a huge fan of him. But it's been said.
You'll never be allowed back in Wales now. You realise
that?
Yeah,
that's it. The borders are closed for me. No, I do like my Welsh band. I like the Manic Street Preachers.
Yeah.
The Catatonia Stereophonics.
Stereophonics are a great band. I didn't know they were Welsh until the other day when the other guys told me.
We've got Super Furry Animals.
Yeah.
Gorky Psychotic Monkey.
Gorky Psychotic Monkey. All of that Britpop era, I think, you know, there wasn't just Oasis and Blur. You know, people think, oh, you like them because they're Welsh. No, generally, that is my taste of music, and it's, you know, it's diverse, it's rock, it's melody. That and Queen, you know, I'm just that's Queen fan. I always have been from a teenager, and Brian May's, you know, I've got my delay pedal trying to do something what he does.
Doubled sound?
Yeah, exactly.
That's hard.
It's not too much of it on this.
As we say to Sean, you double everything in the studio.
It's a learning experience for me working in the studio with these guys on that CD, and it's, you just want more of it. The more you learn, the more you realise what more potential you can do. It's an exciting time, definitely.
Yeah, that's exciting. So do you guys spend, when you go in the studio, who produced this album?
We produced it all together.
Oh, right. I read that. I'm sorry. I'm not looking at my notes because I hate looking at notes when I'm talking to people. But so you record and produce it. So do you have a studio yourself?
We're working on, we've got, Craig's got one that's coming together where he's just about to get Logic 4. He's got good Apple MacBook.
Yeah.
And we'll be starting to put the demos on there using GarageBand. But we go to a small studio, which means we kind of have to build the tracks. That's why it has that sound really to it.
Okay.
Is that there's only one live room, so you really have to build things.
Yeah.
Which works well, but we're going to try and transfer that more to Craig's house and get him to do all the stuff you don't need to be in a studio for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you all sing?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how the harmonies are done. When you go cut the harmonies, do you do them Queen style, where you all stand around a mic? And no.
Generally not. Generally, no, we go in one by one, style. Do our doubles, and then because the vocal booth's so tiny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd like it. But yeah, we go in there and we layer them up and make sure they sound nice, they sound big.
Mm-hmm. Do you, after you spend all that time, like you write the songs, you work them out with yourselves, then you record and produce them, do you like now kind of long to have another guy that might have take some of this responsibility so you can just be...
That's the dream.
The band.
The dream is to
I didn't know if you guys were self-produced out of necessity or just out of like no one's going to get in here and jack with our thing.
It started out, but very quickly I realised that I didn't want anyone else at the controls. You know,
really?
That we had to make our own decisions and we had to be happy with it. If we were going to come across as a band, then it was going to be about the four of us together and what we put into a record, we had to be in control of that.
Yeah.
But Jamie's older brother is an accomplished sound engineer. He helps quite a lot, and you know that's quite a beneficial.
What's good is that, you know, once we did the album, I can send some tracks to my brother and say, can we have some single mixes of these? And
so he does mixing. Do you guys engineer it as well?
No, we have an engineer in the studio. They have guys in there, people we like to use.
Yeah.
Who understand what we're trying to achieve. Because some people get upset when you go in there and go, we're going to double everything, we're going to build it, this track's going to be worked on for a little while.
Yeah.
A lot of engineers want you to go in there, and we'd like to, as a live band, and just hammer it down and build from there. But unfortunately, we don't have the space.
Yeah.
That's sad. Let's get the space, because I bet you guys would have fun doing it.
Oh, we'd love it,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how many shows do you do? Like when you go, you went out on tour with the Zombies. You would play every single night. But when you're at home, do you go out on the road and sort of tour England?
We will to promote the record.
Yeah, I mean,
but we've been in the studio for quite a while.
Yeah, so we've only done a handful of shows in the past few months because of obviously finishing the record and so on. But we'll do as many as we can, but they don't like you to do more than one every 2 weeks in London.
All right. So, well, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
But our goal is to do a lot more across the whole of the country.
Yeah,
this coming year.
Because there's a lot you can do there.
There is.
I mean, right?
Yeah, some great venues, some great cities. Radio, I was talking about this earlier to somebody, but a lot of people still will dismiss radio, but I still think it's valid, and I still think getting on the radio means something and is a good way to interact. It's not the same thing, but it still has, I still think it's important.
Yeah. You know, I had this manager guy on my show a few months ago, and we were talking, and I was discounting radio. I was like, oh, and he said, go ask the Lumineers if radio works. You know, the Lumineers?
Yeah.
So I guess it does work. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like such a small road.
It is a very small road.
You know what I mean?
Road.
It's like there's no... all roads lead to this one very tiny dirt road.
Yeah, there's no pot of gold at the end of the radio, but it's all part of something bigger. You know, there are a lot of bands who go out and will almost exclusively just play live, and that's fantastic if you can do it, but I like bringing it all together. It's like building the album for me.
Yeah.
There are lots of different strands to bring together to make it work.
Yeah. Well, you guys are young, too. You came up in the time when music was already, the internet was already a thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what are your views on, like, I see you got your music on SoundCloud. Do you have it on Spotify and stuff?
We do. The first album's on Spotify.
Yeah. Okay.
It's as many people, I always want people, as many people as possible to hear the music or have that chance to.
So, you don't have any problem with people using you know what I mean? Like not getting rich off of the one song you wrote that time. Is that something that's not part of your...
I do. I mean...
Obviously you would. But is that something you... You know what I mean? Like
it can't be the primary thing. I mean, it has to be... And I know it sounds terrible, but it has to be about your art first. And it has to be about the music before it is in anything else. And whilst we'd all like to have money coming in...
Sure.
The music's the most important thing. I know that sounds terrible because everybody says it, but it's true.
It doesn't sound terrible. I mean, it's good to know that. I mean, the music is the most important thing. I mean, that's why we're all even here. That's
exactly.
Why I even have this show.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I'm here. Yeah.
So you're cool with that. What about, let me see. There's some stuff I want to ask you guys to see if it's different over there than it is here. And one of those things is phones at shows. Do you get a lot of people watching the, and it's okay if you take pictures.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously... I would rather people watch stuff than watch
and experience
their phone.
Yeah.
It's hard to be involved if you're in your own little world looking at a screen rather than a stage.
Right.
But it's because I grew up with that. You know, there weren't phones when we were little kids.
Yeah, me neither. I mean,
and so it's a different way of doing things for me. I mean, I don't like it, but I wouldn't say people shouldn't do it.
No, because I do also have this other side of me that's like, oh, I hope people are taking pictures of this and posting about it so that my band will do better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the other side
of it. So, yeah, it's a double-edged thing. But I do remember when I was a kid, you weren't allowed to take cameras. You couldn't record shows. And now it's just like...
Yeah, everyone's...
Yeah. You can't really have a bad night.
No, that is true.
You know what I mean?
Everyone knows straight away, yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys warm up? Like, you know the song Seven Bridges Road by the Eagles?
Yeah.
You know, like, do you do something like that before you go out and sing? Because those harmonies are really tight. And I'm in a band with seven people, and the harmonies are like, and we have a guy that's in charge of that shit. Like, even is like, this is your note where you're singing. This is the note where you start.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a regiment like that, or are you just okay?
We have vocal warm-ups. We do all our vocal warm-ups before gigs, but we don't do many harmony warm-ups, I think, because everybody's in their own little, their space.
Right.
Everybody has their own little routine and their way of getting themselves ready for a gig.
Yeah.
And?
And mine is just to pace around a lot and make fun of people.
That's... I do that.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I usually like to spend 1 hour putting everything down, making fun of everyone and everything.
I generally just keep to myself and keep quiet.
And we like it. You keep yourself as well.
Yeah, I know you do, Thanks.
So, how do you... I'm fascinated with this because when somebody gets like a vocal sound, you always wonder, is that how it fell in? Or were you like, oh, you should probably be the guy that sings the high ones and you're the guy that sings the... Or did you just naturally fall into it?
This guy, Jamie here, he's just got it when it comes to harmonies.
Okay, so you hear him, kind of Brian Wilson.
Put them all together and then we pick which ones we're all going to take, you know. It's my favorite part is putting the harmonies on. It's usually the last thing, but
usually the guy that is in charge of putting the harmonies is having a great time,
yeah.
And everybody else is having the exact opposite time of that guy.
Yeah,
that's what the guy that does the harmonies doesn't understand.
They're all sitting
in the
control
about?
Booth.
Yes.
Sitting in the control booth while I'm in there for 6 hours just coming up with new harmonies, going. But surely it is done now.
Yeah, stop.
But the end product.
Yeah,
you know
the proof is in the pudding.
It is.
Yeah,
and.
You're lucky to have a harmony guy.
To Jamie for it. It's brilliant.
Do you guys all write together?
We've just started that. I mean, now this album feels more collaborative than the first one. The first one was really two songwriters and then with the band around all collaborating on the music. But this time we've tried to be more mindful of getting a sound which represents us better as a four-piece.
What do you think changes when you do that? What changed?
I think the energy changes, and when that energy comes through with it, we've got a song called Naivety and Knowledge off the record, which is the first thing we'd written as a four-piece. As a genuine band, we sat down and it just came together. And more than anything, it changes the energy, the enthusiasm, and how that makes you approach recording.
Yeah.
Is different. You can, some songs you can work on and think, I know there's something there, but I can't get it right, and it becomes a grind, and nobody, and you can feel that in a lot of the demos we did. Mm. But when you have us working together, Darren and I have been writing together, it really brings more of a flavour, and there's more involvement on any, from people on every level. Right. And you need to be engaged, I think.
Yeah, and I think it brings the best out of you as well, because I realise I've written about three songs, but now you want to race to the challenge and bring something to the table as
yeah.
well. So you don't feel forced, you have to, but you realise it will contribute in yeah. any way, because whatever I do will be slightly different to, I mean, I'm learning, you know, Jamie's chord changes, I've known them for all the years, and
right.
the minor chord comes in out and right, it's a Jamie song.
So yeah, yeah.
kind of...
Please don't reduce it to that.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong.
But yeah, you know, it's, you're learning all the time. That's the thing. So, yeah.
That's great, though.
Mm, it's really. It's like I said, I've known him since college days. So yeah, I've seen him, back in Wales, lots of bands back there. But when this guy comes along, and you know, he's putting a lot of melody, and you know, there's a different, you know, not just churning out the guitars and the distortion.
Right.
So yeah, it was quite interesting.
Did you guys all grow up with the dream of rock and roll?
Yeah, yes. I think I couldn't ever have imagined doing anything else. No. I don't know why. I think as a kid, it was the only thing I loved. I loved music a lot. I liked sport, but it became apparent, painfully apparent early on that I was going to be not good at it. So
you weren't bad at football.
I wasn't bad, but I was never going to be good enough to play anyone.
Off.
But music, yeah, I think really.
That's band, we were 9 years old.
We were. I mean, Craig and
really?
I were in a band together when we were 9. We've known each other since we were 7.
And wow.
Yeah, on and off. And we were in a band together.
Being my brother, so
yeah,
been a long time.
Yeah,
we were best friends, weren't we?
Yeah, Darren and I were best friends at school, but then he abandoned me.
Yeah, I had to.
What? Because of the metal?
It's hard work being a friend of mine. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was because like he went into soft music for you. Like you needed somebody that was into the more like.
In a nutshell, that's probably it. Yeah,
he likes your heart.
You didn't have the devil inside you, did you?
Not at that point, no. Yeah.
What were you guys, what kind of mischief did you have a band, like when did you guys first play out, like as a band, like were you teenagers?
Well,
I have a picture of my first band.
Actually, you know what, Craig and I did a performance when we were at school together and we were 12 years old, and that was the first time we were on stage together.
Yeah.
And
what did you do?
Hound Dog.
We did Hound Dog.
Oh, no way.
For a school play.
Yeah.
And?
And it was okay.
Did you guys get some lady attention and stuff? I mean, those are the things that usually are defining moments in a musician's life. Like, wait a minute.
We didn't, and that's when I thought we're going to have to get better.
Yes.
In my mind, you look exactly like you do now, just you're 9 or 12 on the stage playing Hound Dog.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Did you with the beard?
I did, had a little stick-on beard.
Yeah.
It was nice, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you two like cut your teeth on later on? Did you have bands in high school after that? Or what, that's, you guys call it college, right?
What
we call high school.
Yeah. I mean, at that age really, because I went to university and I met Sean and started a band with him, and then Craig and I sort of drifted apart at that point because he went in a different direction. Craig started working very sensibly early on, realizing the power of money and having a job.
Oh yeah, would you?
I got into recruitment and
finding
people jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Headhunter kind of guy? Is that what that is? No.
It's similar to it, but on a larger scale, big numbers.
Okay.
So, lots of people, in other words.
Yeah.
And, did that. And it's afforded me now to get back into music.
So. Well, that's, I mean,
definitely, that's great.
And it has, so.
A few years later, it kind of came, because Sean and I were in a band together. Yeah. Craig and Darren have always been in bands together.
Right.
Because... They can't get rid of each other, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when
he wishes,
I made a solo album years ago. It was, I wanted to put an acoustic album together. The band I was in with Sean fell apart. Did that, enjoyed it. Wanted to be back in the studio, and Craig just phoned me up one day and said, "Why don't we just go and like play some music together?" And I thought, "Yeah, okay." I was a bit of a loss. I'd released this album to nothing. I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I made it and I thought, what do you do with it? What do you do with an album once you've got in? I didn't realize you need to promote it, which we learned about later. So Craig said, why don't we just start playing? I said, okay. And I asked Darren. Darren said, okay, I'll give it a go. And it just went from there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a style of music, though, that you...
No, I mean, to be honest, it probably still isn't the style of music I'd listen to, the stuff we play.
So you literally just listen to those two bands?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard The Sword?
No. I hardly know anything.
Wow. You're...
That's a bass player. It's solid.
You're the guy they're going to make the movie about, just so you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
There's some mystery going on in there that's going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah. There's a mystery in there. Yeah.
So the plan is to go back, hopefully get somebody to put out this record, which is great, and then just tour. Do you guys have a van or something? I mean, is that something you do in the UK? Have a van?
We don't have a van, no. Okay. Unfortunately.
But do bands have?
We'll get one very quickly if we need
kind
it.
Kind of. Yeah. 4x4s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Land Rover.
Yeah. And do you, any of you other guys, do you guys have other jobs that you do?
We all kind of have to work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
To
pay to make the records.
Sure.
But hopefully.
Hey, to me that gives, like, you're doing, like, I'm sorry, but if you were making your record because you had to fit some contractual obligation and get some money because you had to get on, I probably wouldn't have liked your music like I liked it. Mm-hmm. Not because I think you have to be poor to make good music, but you're doing it because you have to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's a good thing. So what do you do? I'm like, what the hell do you do? Like, you look... I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
It's everywhere I get. Every time I go for an interview, it's just like,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to start talking
I'm not
quickly.
Sure either. I mean, I'd let you be the lead singer of my band, but I don't know if I'd let you be my dentist or something. I mean, not because of your teeth, just you don't...
I wouldn't.
You look like too much of a rock star.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I go from job to job, which is office-based. And just, you know, lots of different companies who need people to come in and help out and just need numbers of people to make things work. At the minute, I'm working in a finance department in an office, actually, in London.
That's wild.
Which is just soul-destroying. But
they're cool. They let you off, right?
They are cool. And I've got to say, I work for places, generally, they are.
Okay.
They understand. And when they hire me, I let them know that this is what I do. And I am going to need time off occasionally.
Yeah.
And they're usually fine with this. It's like with anything. If you do what you're supposed to do and work hard, people are okay with you.
Yeah, that's true. And you guys seem like well-mannered, nice people.
Oh, thank you.
We try to be.
Yeah. What about you? What do you do?
I work in shopping TV.
What is that? Oh, like a QVC or something?
Do you know the Liquidation channel in Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They shoot up north.
I work for their sister channel in
okay.
England, the jewelry channel.
Oh, that's cool. What do you do there?
TV director.
What's that? Director? Oh, wow. That's awesome.
He's got an interesting job. It's terrible.
I mean, it's all right. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, can you apply those sort of things? Do you have any dream of film?
Well, he works a lot of the videos. Darren tends to edit all our videos.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to. All right.
You did the artwork?
Oh,
yeah,
you did?
I do the artwork as well.
The artwork and the videos. You know, the things on the creative and technical, Darren's on top of.
Yeah.
That's great. It's always good to have a guy like that in the band, man. That's like, you need a... Because that shit, when you have to outsource it, adds up, man.
Yeah.
Or you have some jackass fan that's doing it for free that just like, you know what I mean? He's putting like a frog on there or something. Well, or a cat hanging on a tree. Hang in there.
And they get very upset if you suggest
What about you, Sean? What do you
do? I want no frogs in there.
Not dissimilar to what Jamie does. Accounts, you know, in an office. Complete contrast to what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Pays the bills.
Nice.
4 9 to 5.
You probably can afford to do things like get gear fixed and stuff when you need it and go to Austin if you need to. And
buy food,
like, that's the other thing. Yeah, buy food. Yeah. These are things that are needed. Yeah. Are any of you married or anything?
We don't. Some of us are.
Okay.
Is it only one of us?
It's only one. Yeah, it's only one of us.
God, oh no, that's terrible, isn't
which
it?
Which one?
Yeah.
Do I have to guess?
You wouldn't believe which one.
You can have a guess.
You could have a guess.
Darren.
Oh, Darren. No, there's no woman who could tie Darren down. He's a free spirit.
He's been tied down.
He's been tied down.
Oh, yeah.
He has been like, quite a lot.
He got tied down here last night.
I don't know. I was with Craig. I was in the room. Hope
not.
Let's not go down that road.
Yeah, I think we're going to a very dark area.
Brothers in arms and all that. But yeah.
In their arms.
I like to take my show to new places. Sexually.
Oh, dear.
So, how do they, significant others, how do they handle this? Do they like it? Do they love the music? Do they go to the shows? Do they,
as best they can,
tell their friends, or do they tolerate it?
I think it's hard. I think when you live with it, it's probably hard. It's going to get on your nerves because, I mean, we live with it, but we're part of it. But if you're with us, then you haven't made that choice to live with it. You just have to. Yeah. So I mean, it is hard for them, and
but ultimately, they like it.
Ultimately, they have to like it a bit. Otherwise, you know, they can't live with us anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is tough. It's funny because I was married for like 10 years and I got divorced and the people were like, oh, it's because you were always on the road. And I was like, no, it's because I came home and I was home for like a year. Yeah. and it was not good. So in my thing, being away was really great. Mm-hmm. And now being back was not so great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I just took us down a dark road. I'm sorry. No kids.
There are kids.
There are kids. That's cool. What are the kids? How old are the kids?
I've got a 13-year-old and
Craig started young. Craig did start young.
That's wicked.
He was bang on it.
What do they think?
They love it.
They do?
They're very proud.
They love the band? That's good.
They love the band. They're proud. They're excited. And, you know.
They show their friends the jams and stuff?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
So, they enjoy it.
Yeah. I've had some people in here that are like, oh, yeah, they used to like it. Now they're like, ah, oh, dude, stop. Stop it. Don't play your music in front of my friends. But that's good.
No, it is good, yeah.
It's yeah.
Good, as I said, they're proud, so, you know.
Yeah. Are they good students and stuff? Is school harder over there than it is here? Because they tell us it is. Not you guys, but, you know, like here, they're like, oh, in Europe, they're all smart. You guys are all stupid.
They do well at school.
Good.
They do very well.
Were you guys all good students? You were a good student.
No?
Oh,
hell no.
I thought you were.
I was a quiet student, but I knew how to stay out of trouble, but I just couldn't get my head around the education system.
When it's all... some of us don't fit into the way things work there.
No.
The institution.
I got through it. I got my qualification, went to university, but it... You know, there was no joy in the learning, and there should be. It's like, you know...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like to read, and I like to read now, but at school I didn't because I had no choice in what I was reading.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I don't like being told what to do. Being at school was a problem.
Yeah, it's. I don't either. And I think that's kind of a common trait between all of us that do this. There's a little bit of like a, you know, this was
rebellion.
Yeah. And it's weird that they try and make everybody go through the same system the same way. It just doesn't. It seems like if they did it, it seems like there'd be less of a dropout rate if they just found a way. Like, oh, you know what? You learn like this.
Yeah.
You learn like this. You guys should learn in different places.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it would be, you know, engaging people, giving them some say in what they want to learn about, what interests them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice thought.
Yeah, it is a nice thought. What kind, do you guys play old gear? That was another question I had. I imagine you guys with like this vintage gear.
Oh, well, we've got two Marshall amps, which are 25 years old.
That's sweet.
Cobwebs on one of them, I think.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Didn't bring them over, obviously, but...
Right.
And it's a Stratocaster I use at the moment, but we were over at Gibson yesterday.
Oh!
And, suddenly, right, my eyes lit up a little bit, and I'm thinking, oh, I need it. They're so light and precise. And
what Gibson were you looking at? What model? SG or something?
No, not the SG. The Gibson, the Les Paul.
Oh, the Les Paul?
Yeah.
Those things are heavy, normally.
The Epiphone.
I mean, I love an Epi. I love an Epi, and I have a... an EJ200, and you know, when the jumbo ones, an acoustic.
Those are awesome.
I love them. I love the sound of them. I love Epis. I think they're durable. I think they sound great. And also, you know, it costs a lot less than an actual Gibson.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have to do to get one of those? Like, did they invite you or something? Or
yeah, it was arranged, wasn't it? With our management company.
And they can't give you your. They weren't like, hey, you want one of these?
Oh, if only, yeah. We're not quite there yet, unfortunately.
There's the talk about discounts. But, you know.
If our gear hadn't arrived, then they would have...
Oh, yeah.
They would have set you up.
They would have sorted us out straight away.
Oh, I would have told them that my gear hadn't arrived.
I was tempted. Yeah. It's all gone in the swimming pool.
I don't know how that happened, but I'll need some more, thank you.
Just this morning. This is incredible. That was really cool. It was amazing.
What kind of... I mean, when you come here and you have to play on this other stuff, do you bring your own pedals? Do you guys use pedals?
Yeah, we bring everything we can. The only thing we can't bring is the amps and the drum kit.
Because of the power thing. And the drum kit, because it's just ridiculous to bring.
I just brought my snare, my cymbals, and my breakables, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Do What kind of drum kit do you have? Do you have
I've got a Ludwig.
Okay. Yeah. Vintage Ludwig?
It's not vintage. No. It's very nice, though.
Nice. Yeah, and any nice. Bass tribute? Are you playing like the Steve Harris special or something?
It's black and white.
Like that?
That's white and black.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mine's black and white.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's why I picked it, based on color more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. It's a Fender 60s vibe.
Don't tell that. Which might just mean the Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess who's not getting a free bass? They have drums. Don't they have like Gretsch drums or something? Don't they handle, Gibson handles some drum company?
I think you're right. I think it
might be. I think it is Gretsch.
I think it is Gretsch, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I play a Brady snare. I've got a really nice Brady snare.
Nice.
So that's over here with me. It's my pride and joy at the minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's too bad. Do you guys ever dream of coming here to record?
We
like
do.
In America in one of the classic studios?
Love to.
Yeah, would love to.
Yeah.
Let's go down to Ardent.
Yeah. There you
nice.
Go.
Yeah.
They always have a booth. Are you guys... Oh, yeah, you guys have the thing. You should go to the convention center. They always have a booth there, and Jody Stevens is always there.
Is he?
Yeah, he's just always standing there, and you can go up and say stuff to him. Usually I just go...
We're off there after here, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going straight there to get a...
a boom box, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
A boom box?
Greg's going to try and play one at a gig tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
In what way? Like, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I've not done one. I haven't done before, so I'm just going to... We're going to...
The time to experiment, yeah.
Pick one of our tracks at our showcase tomorrow, and I'm just going to improvise with it and see what happens.
Awesome.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, is there anything that I'm missing? I'm sure there is.
The name of our new album.
What is the name of your new album?
It is, yeah.
Et tu, Bruce.
Eponymously titled, yeah.
Et tu, Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look us up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, yeah. I was going to say all of that. Et tu, Bruce, of course. Is Et tu, Bruce?
Et tu, Bruce.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I come from America, so I thought it'd be like, Et tu, Bruce? Hey, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
thought of it as kind of like this kind of, hey. Okay, so, etubruce.com. You guys are from London. It's been very nice having you here. I hope you enjoy your South by Southwest and that you have great shows. And I think you're an incredible band. I hope I get to see you sometime when you're coming back. Maybe when you will stay in touch.
Great. Yeah,
and when you guys come back, this will be up in a couple weeks. But thank you so much
Brilliant.
For coming.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Sure,
yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Et tu, Bruce, all the way from London. You know, after that podcast, we went for a walk. We were walking back downtown. I was showing them how to get there on the boardwalk because I was going down there and they were going down there. So we all just went for a nice walk. It was a good time. Hey, great getting to talk to those guys. They're a great band. If you live in London, get out there and see them. Hopefully they'll be coming back to the States soon. You can find out what is going on with them with etubruce.com. That's right, in the internet. You can find their music also on Spotify from their last album, Suburban Sunshine album. Great album. Check it out. Hopefully their new album will be out within a reasonable amount of time when we can all get into it. So while you're on the internet checking out Et tu, Bruce, I know there might be a lot of new people listening to the show. Don't forget that you can like our Facebook page. You can always subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and the latest 20 are always up there for free for you. You can also subscribe on Stitcher, which is a fantastic podcast app. And you can listen to it from the page. Where all great podcasts are served. All right, let's listen to some more music from Et tu, Bruce, London's Et tu, Bruce. Nice guys, man. Thanks for coming by, guys. All right, let's get down.
This city, the breathing and screaming. My, there ain't much left right in this city.